We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth, that it is living, it is active, it is the only infallible way of faith and practice. It is uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. So we need to know what it says, and we need to believe what it says. Our text this morning comes out of Romans chapter 12. I want to read to you verses 9 through 20. And I'll read it out of the NIV, although often, as you probably know by now, I preach mostly from the ESV. But they don't make that much difference, and so it's... But the Pew Bibles are in the NIV, and you can follow along with me. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray a moment. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your word. But we're ready to admit, Lord, we need you to teach us. We need you to open our hearts and our minds to understand what you're trying to say, and not only to understand it, which sometimes we all too well do, but to put it into practice, but to live it, to live your truth, to live your word, to live your will. God, minister your grace to us as we sit around your word these few moments. Teach us. Enable us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, just Friday we celebrated Valentine's Day, right? I hope, right? No? We did. Valentine's Day. It's a time when we think about hearts and we think about candy and showing love to someone close to us. Could be a mother, could be a father, could be a good friend. I know when I was in school, we used to pass around all sorts of little cards, you know, back in the day, you know, as it was. Well, it's not a Christian day, particularly a Christian holiday, certainly. It's not mentioned in the Bible. But its theme of love is certainly a Christian theme. And I just didn't want us to leave it too quickly. Because when you examine Christianity, when you begin to look at what is involved in living the Christian life, it's all about love. Love is everywhere. Now, understanding it properly and carrying it out properly is maybe the details that we need to worry about. But it's all about love. The Christian life is all about love. God loving us, us loving God, and us loving one another, those around us. Jesus taught it, He lived it, and He expects us to live it too. In 1 John 4:21, John is quoting Jesus and saying, "And this commandment we have from Him, whoever loves God must also love his brother." That's one of those musty statements. Must also love his brother. Well, we used to sing a little song in Bible school. You probably did too. Love, 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 love. The gospel in a word is love, right? Love your neighbor as your brother. Love, love, love. And we get hung up sometimes in all these big hymn books. We ought to just sing some of those plain love songs, shouldn't we? That pretty well sums up what Jesus was saying, doesn't it? As Paul put it in his famous love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, he says, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love," you remember what he is? He's a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. I like how the Message translates a following verse in 14:1 when it says, "Go after the life of love as if your life depended on it," because it does. Peterson sometimes cuts to the chase. In our passage this morning from Romans 12, Paul's unfolding, unpacking what it means to live a life of love. And in these verses, Paul's given out one right after another, a whole list of practical details, you might say. Ways that we can express love and should be expressing love for one another in our daily life. You know, the Bible's a pretty practical book. It just doesn't give us the big picture and say, okay, have at it. It gives us details. And maybe that's, you know, we have that little phrase, the devil is in the details. I think it's in the details that we get hung up. We might like it to be more general, because these details can get you in trouble. You might want to call these details that Paul gives us in this little passage of his word in Romans, the Ten Commandments of love. And they fall into three broad categories. And I gave you a little note card in there somewhere. Yes. A little, so that you can find this. This is my Charles Stanley sermon, which has 10 points. And you can follow all those points, but I knew you needed a little help to follow them, to remember them, because you won't remember them. I can't remember them all without thinking them through. So make your notes. There are little blank spots you can fill in. And somebody has already chided me for making fill-ins, but I thought, well, that helps us listen better if we follow the notes and we pay attention. But the three categories. The first category is love looks out for others. It's a big category. Our natural tendency is to look out for who? Good old number one, right? Good old number one, ourselves. And then we do what we can for others. Now, you know, sure, we're important. We're important. But we're going to look out for ourselves no matter what. But we're not going to necessarily look out for one another. So the Bible wants to focus us on others more than ourselves. Our tendency is to make sure we get recognition for what we deserve, or we get our agenda fulfilled and complete. And we'll let the other guy sort of fend for themselves and take care of themselves. And, you know, Paul's telling us to take a different approach. He's telling us to look out for the other guy first. Look out for the other guy. And do what you can to help one another. And he gives us three specific commands. The first of the 10. The first one's be devoted to one another lovingly. Paul says in verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Brotherly love. And the Greek word for devotion is a word that's used about family relationships. In other words, we're to treat each other, be devoted to one another, as if they were family, as if we were kin. In a certain sense, we are. Treat other believers like family members. Because that's what they are. The second truth in this is give honor to one another selflessly. Paul says in verse 10, honor one another above yourselves, more than yourself. The Message says it this way, practice playing second fiddle. You show love by taking a back seat every now and then. You show love by putting your wants maybe on the back burner and looking instead to what the other person is trying to say they need. And Paul echoed these words in Philippians when he said, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Philippians 2:3. Don't think only about your own efforts, own affairs. Be interested in others too and what they are doing. Thomas Aquinas said, to love is to will the good of another. That's an interesting thought. Number 3, be generous toward others, especially your Christian brothers and sisters. Verse 13 says, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. You think right off the top he's talking about money, but his money would be part of that, but contribute to the needs. What are the needs of the saints? It's often so much more than money. Respect, care, love. Just treat each other decently. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Seek to show hospitality. The Bible tells us that we should show that extra generosity, that extra love to everyone. But our first priority in giving should be to our family, to our church family, to our brothers and sisters. In Galatians, God says, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. True. Especially, though, he adds, to our Christian brothers and sisters. Look out for others. That's what love is. It means that we factor in the effect of our actions on other people. We make decisions, it affects people. We should think about that. That is love. It means that we look out for one another and we are concerned about one another. It means that in addition to taking care of our own responsibilities and obligations, we look for opportunities to bless our brothers and our sisters. You know, Paul says that we should be looking out for others. The second category that I want you to look at is love seeks to understand. Seeks to understand others. Seeks to understand ourselves even. Seeks to understand God. Love makes the effort to see the world from the perspective of others, not always from our own perspective. To understand the hurts and the pains and the fears and the hopes and the dreams. We've all heard the expression, walk in my shoes. Well, that's kind of what Paul is trying to tell us. Number 4, love understands and by practicing empathy. Paul said in verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Or in the NIV it says, mourn with those who mourn. You know the best thing you can do for someone when they're really hurting? You can just empathize with them. You don't have to preach. You don't have to put their problems into perspective for them. You don't have to explain the meaning of life. Just empathize. Be there, in other words. Be there with them. Share their pain. I remember reading about a woman who had lost her father to a very painful battle with bone cancer. And she said that many people tried their very best to talk her out of grieving. to distract her from the reality of what had happened. And they would talk about everything but her pain. And I know that often when we're in situations like that, we don't know what to say. And I think that's probably a good indicator of what we ought to say. Nothing. Just be there. She said they talked about everything but her pain. I wasn't ready for chirpy, cheery people. She just wanted someone to be with her. The Bible gives us a great definition and a real direction. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Number five, love understands by practicing unity. You know, Paul says in verse 16, live in harmony with one another. I like the word harmony. I like what it implies. It means you're not singing solo. You're not singing maybe just the melody line. You're adding to the song. You're adding to the whole of what the song is about. It implies that we may not be singing all the same notes, but as we do our part, the whole is beautiful music. Live in harmony with one another. You want to hear a profound spiritual truth? It's not in your notes. Maybe it should be. God wants us to get along with each other. Maybe our world needs to hear that. We used to have that little song that Coca-Cola adopted, what the world needs now, right? It's love, love. You know, we need it. We need to get along with each other. We've lost that. We've lost it certainly in this country. We've lost it in our culture. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 133, how wonderful it is, how pleasant when brothers live together in harmony, in unity. We're never all going to think alike, nor act alike. We're never going to have the same interests or the same types of personalities. Always going to be that blend, that's part of the harmony. We're all as different from one another as we can be, but we still can get along. We can still live together in harmony. And that's what love does. That's what love does. Love understands. Number six, love understands by practicing acceptance. Verse 16, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. That's maybe a test for us all. For every believer, every small group, every church, how easily do outsiders fit in? When it comes to people who aren't as affluent or maybe aren't as intelligent or in our mind, or, you know, they're maybe aren't as thoroughly modern and as we are, how easily do they fit into our clique? How easily do they become part of our group? You know, that's what distinguishes us from the country club. If we're the kind of church where only certain people fit in, where you have to be a certain type in order to be a part of the group, then we're failing in our call to love other people. Love expresses itself by accepting others, all kinds of others. Love looks out for others, number one. Love seeks to understand, number two. And the third large category that Paul addresses here in Romans 12 is love takes what I call the high road. There's some really ugly people in our world. We see it every day if you watch the TV. If you disagree with them about a political issue or a social issue or a theological issue even, they can rip you to shreds. I mean, they just tear you up and throw you away. What we call in our world, they cancel you. Cut you out completely. As God's people, you and I are called to do things very differently. We're called to take a different road. We're called to lift people up and not tear them down. Number 7, love takes this high road by responding to mistreatment with kindness. Look at what Paul said in verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. You know, for a good percentage of us, the worst persecution we're ever going to receive is an insult occasionally or a snide remark. We don't really get a lot of persecution in our culture. But when even that happens, how do we respond? Do we lash out? Well, try this instead. Smile. Smile. Say nothing about the insult. And return a sincere compliment. Now, you're not going to compliment them for the insult. But there's something good that can be said about everybody. About anybody. About anybody. Give that sincere compliment without sarcasm. Just share something nice. It sounds impossible, doesn't it? And it's not easy sometimes, that's for sure. But that's how love responds to mistreatment. With a blessing and not a curse. Number 8, love takes the high road by setting an example. Paul says in verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what is honorable in the sight of all. Now, on the surface, this sounds impossible because everybody doesn't agree on what's right. That's not what Paul is saying. He's talking about the example, setting that example for others to follow. The New Living Translation says this verse this way, do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable, or that they can see your faith, they can see that you are a child of God. As the little gospel song says, your life may be the only Bible that some people read. We've heard that, we've said that. We need to remember that. It's our responsibility, not just to be right, it's our responsibility to lead by example. The old adage, people don't care how much you know until they see how much you care. Number 9, love takes the high road by practicing peace. Verse 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Wow. Again, you're back at the idea that God wants us to get along, you know. Paul said, I think, and adds the genius of this phrase in this verse in the little phrase, as far as it depends on you. That's important because probably 9 out of 10 times it does depend on us to make a situation peaceful. Or we can decide to escalate. We often do. As far as it depends on you means sometimes you overlook that offense that some other person may have sent your way, or that perceived offense, which often isn't real. When you can't overlook the offense and it has to be confronted, you handle it calmly, you handle it rationally, without name calling, without all the stuff you see goes on these days, categorizing and pigeonholing people into stereotypes, calling them all sorts of things. as far as it depends on you, means you're going to give more than you get. And you're going to accept this as parcel and part of living the Christian life. Offenses will come. Wrongs will come. But love practices peace. Number 10, we take the high road by forgiving others. Paul said in verse 19, "Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." Here's what Paul is saying. He says, we don't have to settle our own score. We don't have to keep track of all the wrongs. We don't have to worry about retribution. That's God's business. Totally God's business. His job and His job alone. You know what our job is? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Bless those who curse you. Strive to live at peace for those who are around you. Paul goes on to say in verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, do what? Feed him. Feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Jesus had a lot to say about turning the other cheek, didn't he? About giving more to others than they ask, or most often even expect. In other words, by treating those around who have sinned against you, you treat them with kindness. You help them find a path to repentance. Why? Because you love. You love God who has called you to that task, and you love them. You love them. You express love by taking the high road. You bend, you overlook, you forgive. You don't get even. You know, sometimes I think we get lost in the lists of do's and don'ts, and certainly Paul gives us a big list right here, phrase after phrase after phrase after phrase. And it's easy just to get lost in the mud. But Paul's outlining a path that if we say we love, if we say we belong to God, if we say we're a Christian, then we're supposed to live this path. Live it. And you notice they're mostly all commandments. They're not suggestions, just like that other 10 that we tend to want to make suggestions out of. We're supposed to live in this world, and we're supposed to love this world. And this is how you do it. This is how you do it. Probably you won't remember all the points. Maybe that's the reason you got the little paper. But it's how you live in love. You know, I mentioned a little Bible song earlier. Well, there's another chorus that I like. In these little Bible school songs, they're, maybe it's just my status in life, but they really resonate sometimes. Scripture songs are another thing that resonates in my mind a lot. But this little chorus we used to sing from time to time, and it echoes the words of Christ when he said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's John 13. You may have heard the song, "We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord." It wasn't in our hymn book, or we'd sing it. You're one in the Spirit, you're one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. It is the root, the foundation of our witness and of our work. It's all about love. All about love.